is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Oh, the ink is barely dry on my questions. All right, here we go. This is Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend out there and can join us over the next hour because we plan to give you a reasonably entertaining quiz program. So if you'd like to call and join us, that number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or you can call toll-free. That is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. I said that twice, so it's not just one long number. And we'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So give us a call if you can. Our lines are basically open right now. If you wait too long, sometimes they get a little bit crowded, so try to call as early as possible. I'd like to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, that's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us any old time. We don't read them during the show, but I do read them, believe it or not. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And since the lovely Debbie is here, she will do her usual fine job putting our podcast up at some point this evening. And if you'd like to hear your voice, if you call in, you can do that by going to kalw.org. So, all that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first possible new Clinton scandal. Jerry Nachman suspects that Hillary is secretly employed as a marketing executive by Chipotle.
Leah Garchick has survived the Giants' homestand, but it's not clear that the Giants have.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, understands that Hillary's driving across the country having conversations with regular folks. When she gets to him, he plans to ask her what her policy will be about his crabgrass problem.
All right.
How did you pronounce that restaurant?
Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Oh, all right.
I thought you screwed it up.
Chipotle. I never eat there. I don't know.
Spanish word, my man.
No, I don't know. I'm just barely Spanish.
Okay.
And let's go to... let's Jerry, you're first. Go ahead.
Well, okay, I'll do my best.
Yeah. Try to recover. Try to recover from that terrible humiliation.
I wasn't sure my ears were correct, but they were. All right. What world-renowned classical musician wrote a few pop songs under a different name? One of the songs was recorded by Bing Crosby. I think I'll only give you a couple of guesses.
Under a different name.
Yeah.
So if you told us his alias, would that
no,
ring a bell?
No, in fact, I was going to give it to
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah, give it to
Jim
us.
Hoyle.
Oh.
Not much help.
No, not according to Hoyle, anyway. Okay, is this person still around?
No.
Nor is Bing Crosby.
Yeah, true. All right, I'll just take a wild guess. I'll ask Isaac Stern.
No, that's a good guess, but no.
It's the kind of thing he might have
done. He was kind of pop-oriented
in a
way.
Yeah, a little bit.
And, yeah, no.
All right. I don't think it was Paderewski.
Was it?
Or Vladimir.
He was definitely a musician. Not a conductor.
No, he was a musician.
Yasha Heifetz.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
How did you get that one?
Well, I just had.
He lived in Southern California, so.
Yeah, well, that's it. I thought you might get it because you probably knew that. He lived in Hollywood, and.
What was the song that Bing Crosby?
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it. They played just quickly. There was a special on him last week, Heifetz.
Oh, interesting.
And they played a snatch of it, but it wasn't anything memorable.
Oh. My second guess was going to be Madame Schumann Hank.
Just like saying that.
I do.
Good, Leah. Good.
Okay, very good. Well, give us another question, Jerry.
Okay. What performer has won more Tonys than any other?
Hasn't this come up?
I believe it may have, but sometimes I'm not sure. The person has won five or six. I think six.
Is that it? Oh, I thought it'd be way more than that. So this is a performer.
Yeah, performer.
Did. So like Julie Harris?
No. No, that's a good guess, but.
Performer. Is this person still around?
Yes.
All right, I'll take one more guess. Nathan Lane?
No.
Right. Tyne Daly?
No?
That's a good guess.
No, that's a good guess, no.
Huh. All right. Would you repeat that, Jerry?
What performer has won more Tonys than any other? It's either five or six. I think six.
Okay. And Leah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. A very simple question. What's the word for belt loops?
You mean the proper term?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, belt loop. Okay. Mm. You don't mean like, yeah, okay.
Is it a one word
yeah.
thing? Okay.
Is it likely we've ever heard of it?
Have you ever heard of it?
Have you heard of it? Did you know the word?
No.
No, okay.
Mm. All right.
Okay.
Mm.
I have no idea.
One more question. Is it from a foreign language?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay.
Why don't I give you a wild clue?
All right.
It's...
I thought you were going to take off your belt for a minute.
The same as a famous literary figure.
You mean the same name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's called a Proust.
No.
That's interesting.
Same name exactly. That's amazing. So,
just the last name, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Is the name spelled? Is it spelled the same as the author?
I'm not quite sure.
And it's he said it's not foreign.
Almost the same as
he
the
said
author.
It's not a foreign word.
No, it's not a foreign word.
Huh. All right.
A Poe.
You know, I was just thinking that.
Mm-mm.
All right.
I'm sure it's a small. It's not like a Dostoevsky.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
And you didn't say whether this person was American or not.
She didn't say.
She said not foreign, but what does foreign mean?
Well, I said the word Domestic. Is not foreign.
The word is not foreign. Oh, okay.
Okay, all right.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you repeat everything?
What is the word for a belt loop? And it so happens that it's the same name as a famous literary figure.
And you said you didn't know if it was an American author or not?
No, I didn't say what nationality the author was, but the word is English.
Okay. All right. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon, City.
Hello.
Since you were talking about classical musicians, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the final conductor got his last recording contract when he was 94?
What conductor?
Yeah, the final conductor got his last recording contract when he was 94.
94. And this person was basically almost always known as a conductor.
All classical.
Stravinsky?
No.
Arthur Fiedler?
No.
Not a bad guess.
Then Toscanini?
No.
I don't think he lived quite that
long. No.
He didn't use a baton.
Mm, oh, that's a good clue.
Eugene Normandy?
No. Eugene Normandy didn't replace this man.
Replace this man. Okay. Kusevitsky?
No. I'll give you a clue. He appeared in an animated film. That'll probably help.
Strakowski. Right.
Leopold.
Right.
In Fantasia.
Right.
Wasn't he married to Gloria Vanderbilt?
No.
He was. I think
he's
so.
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. My second question.
Yes.
What was the name of Mike Nelson's boat on Sea Hunt?
Mike who?
Mike Nelson's
Lloyd
boat
Bridges.
On Sea Hunt.
I want to say the Venture, but it's probably wrong.
No. Starts with an A.
Oh, the Adventure.
It's synonymous with a figure in Greek history.
Oh, Debbie suggested Albatross.
No.
A figure in Greek history, not Greek mythology.
Well, I don't know about that, though. It's synonymous with, I can't give you. I'll give you a clue. The Greek figure's first name starts with a J.
But the boat starts with an A.
Yeah.
J.
Oh, the Apollo?
No.
J. A. We don't know.
Oh, you see, he said a sea animal.
He said a sea animal?
I thought you said, didn't you say that, a sea creature?
No.
No, but
give you the answer?
Yes.
The Argonaut.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, Jason.
Captain Jason?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. All right. Ripped from today's, not today's headlines, but this week anyway. What two Bay Area cities have used the most and least water per capita?
I read that, yeah.
Oh, the most is Hillsboro.
Right, right. And when I say Bay Area, this is the greater Bay Area, okay? Definitely.
Least.
Greater Bay Area.
Least.
Yes, Hillsboro is the most. So what Bay Area city uses the least water per capita?
Alameda.
No, no. You've been to my house. You know we use a lot more than we should.
I haven't been to your house yet.
Oh, that's right.
I've been waiting.
Well, Vallejo?
No, not Vallejo. So once more, what Bay Area city uses the least water per capita? And what are the three most common, since we taxes were this week, what are the three most common mistakes Americans make on their taxes? This is according to the IRS.
Signing them.
Yes. Unsigned. They forget
yeah.
to sign.
Yeah.
Good. What are the three? No, you had your guess.
You don't want, like, arithmetic mistakes.
No, they're not arithmetic mistakes, actually. That's not one of the most three common, anyway. What are the three most common mistakes, according to the IRS, that Americans make on their tax forms? Jerry got, they forget to sign it. What are the other two?
Okay. These are not intentional mistakes, shortchanging the government.
I don't think so. I guess it's conceivable they could be, but not that I know of.
I mean, like they don't declare their bank interest or something.
No, it's
like
not that. It's more fundamental stuff. Okay, so once more, what city in the Bay Area, and this is the greater Bay Area, uses the least water per capita? And I'm looking for the three most common mistakes Americans make on their tax forms, according to the IRS. Terry got number one, which is they forget to sign it. What are the other two? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, this is Nancy from Berkeley. And I knew Yasha Heifetz, but Leah already got that. But the entertainer that has won the most Tony Awards is Audra McDonald.
Correct. Oh, very mm-hmm. good.
And I wanted to give one answer, maybe, to the income tax
yes.
Problem with deductions.
No.
No. Huh. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Paul from the Richmond.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. At one point in the last half of the 20th century, there were more than 435 members of the House of Representatives. You know how that happened?
Just go over that whole thing once more.
Okay, in the second half of the 20th century, there was a time when there were more than 435 members of the House of Representatives. Do you know the circumstances?
Did somebody retire and it was not recorded or something like that?
No.
So they were all members in good standing, in
all
other words.
Members in good standing.
Okay.
All elected.
And does this have anything to do with districting or gerrymandering?
No.
And has nothing to do with any sort of overseas territories the United States has.
That's what I was.
Good question.
You know, like Guam or the Marianas or Puerto Rico.
No.
Okay.
Would it have to do with Washington D.C.?
No.
Okay. Then we don't know.
In 1959, Alaska and Hawaii were admitted to the United States, and they were each entitled to representation.
Right.
And then after the 1960 census, the House went back to 435 members, with Hawaii picking up two congressmen and Alaska one. So from 59 to 62, there were 437 congressmen.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. I forgot the answer. Okay.
All right.
Okay, bye.
I do that, too.
Happens to us all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Sometimes it's a question, too.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us here with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman. From the San Francisco Chronicle, columnist Leah Garchik. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Yes, Leah?
I'm going to guess the least water is at Emeryville?
No. No, it's, I mean, it's per capita, so it's, but no, it's not Emeryville.
No, it's because I was trying to think of a place that doesn't have lawns.
Oh, well, that's okay.
And Emeryville has a lot of apartments and not lawns.
That's true. Yeah.
Or golf courses.
I'll give you a slight hint on it, that this city has been under some water restrictions for a while. Like even before the drought, this current drought started, for
what reasons?
I guess
would that give it away?
They didn't want them to wash too much. I don't know. I don't know. I think there was just a general supply problem with the city for a while. So anyway, they're used to a certain amount of restriction there. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sheldon in Richmond.
Hi, Sheldon.
I have a guess on a tax mistake. How about putting down the wrong year?
No, that's not a bad idea. But no.
Okay. I've got a question for you.
Yes.
I have two questions. In what year did farms use the same number? Did the same number of farms use horses and tractors?
What year?
In what year did the same number of farms... in other words, when it was a parity, you mean?
Yeah, yes, exactly. And obviously, after that point, there were more tractors than horses.
Right, okay.
1942.
Oh, you're so close.
Oh.
All right, since Jerry's so close, I'll guess 1941.
The other way.
Because they probably couldn't get a lot of farm equipment during the 1946.
44.
44.
Yeah.
Yeah. A related question. What year were the most tractors produced in the United States?
The most what?
Tractors.
Most tractors.
Oh, tractors.
Well, on the other hand, they wanted, for the war effort, they'd want you to raise as many crops as possible for various reasons. It wasn't during World War II, though, was it?
No.
I'll say 53, just to make a guess.
Okay. 1951.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And then I think there are a lot of Japanese tractors and foreign tractors on the market now, but obviously with corporate farming, there's probably fewer tractors overall.
So. Right.
Do they still use tractors, or do they use these big, what are they called?
Combines,
yeah.
Right. Well, combines are used for harvesting, and tractors are used for planting and plowing and all of that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you back.
And, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. in 1948, ABC TV first went on the air for the first time with a variety show called On the Corner, starring a famous comedian of the time. Who was he or she?
On the Corner. A famous comedian of the time.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's been somewhat forgotten, but undeservedly, so I think.
It's not Pinky Lee, then, I guess.
No.
Undeservedly.
Well, according to me, but I'm usually right, so.
Undeservedly forgotten. Okay. A man.
Yeah.
Was this person in movies?
He was in a few. Not many, I don't think. Not known as a movie comedian.
Victor Moore.
No. He was in a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't know. Okay.
He was a radio personality, of course, because that era, the first year of TV, so it came out of radio.
So he had his own show?
Yeah.
On the radio, I mean.
Yeah, I'm giving you a lot of clues here.
But a lot of people had their own shows on the radio. Okay, just read the question once more, would you?
In 1948, ABC TV went on the air for the first time with a variety show called On the Corner, starring a famous comedian of the time. Who was it?
Hmm. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Very good. So I believe the city that uses the least amount of water per capita is San Francisco.
No.
No?
Nope.
That is strange. Okay. The CBS News had a documentary a few days ago about Fukushima. And in fact, it is getting much worse there. Much, much, much worse. It's just not in the news. So most birds and animal species are disappearing. God knows what is happening to humans. So KPFA this morning had a scientist who's talking partially about it, but when the host, Philip Mulderry, I believe his name is, asked him about cesium, iodine, and strontium, he asked him what this atom mimics. And that actually gave an idea what this chemical get distributed in the body. Starting, say, with cesium. What cesium mimics? I don't know, by the way. That's why I'm giving that question, because most of your audience are also KBFO audience.
When you say cesium, what does it mimic? What does it mimic in
cesium-137.
In humans?
And it mimics another element that intake part of our diet. You know which element?
No, we do not know.
Season the food. It's very, very. You always, when you cook, use it.
Sodium?
Salt, yeah.
Salt, exactly. So cesium mimics sodium in salt.
Okay.
The next one, strontium. What does it mimic? I can give you a hint very quickly. It actually ends up in our bones, so it is obvious what it mimics.
Calcium?
Exactly. Very good. Then iodine, 131, does not mimic anything. It actually is iodine. Where does it go?
Thyroid.
Thyroid, yeah.
Of course. And I made the question especially because the Fukushima situation is getting much, much worse. Most birds have been disappearing in Japan, so many as wild and animals, even domestic animals, as well as fish. Do not eat any seafood for the next so many years until the situation is solved. For last week, I asked what is the heaviest city in the United States, and that was Sarasota, Florida, by the way.
Oh,
thank you
right.
very much.
Thanks,
Rachel.
Bye-bye. And Leah, it's your turn.
Okay. In 1957, scientists or inventors trying to develop an easy wipe wallpaper invented a product that's widely used for something else. What is it?
Play-Doh.
No.
So their original intent was to develop an easy
wipe
wallpaper.
Right.
I see.
And it's not contact paper that they developed.
Okay.
It was something else.
Could you say it again, please?
In 1957, scientists and designers, I guess, trying to invent a product that would be an easy wipe wallpaper.
Easy wipe wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Invented something else that's widely used.
Oh.
Today.
Easy wipe. So you're not looking for a wallpaper type of material. It could be
a
chemical.
No, it's not anything wallpaper. It's not a chemical. It's finished project, but I'm telling you it's not wallpaper.
Right.
Teflon.
No.
It's not bad. Silicone.
No. It's not it's a whole product. I'm not silicone and Teflon are substances. I'm not talking about a substance. I'm talking about a whole product that you use.
Debbie suggested Saran wrap.
No. Mm-mm. That's a good guess. I think Saran wrap was around before then, I think.
All right. Get up. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi. Let's see. The 1948 ABC TV On the Corner, would that have been Red Skelton?
No, very good guess, but no.
I think it's somebody more obscure, but Jack Parr?
No, it is someone more obscure. You're right. No, not Jack Parr either. No.
Okay, switch gears. The least water per capita, although you later said that it was somebody who's been under watch, which makes this kind of unlikely, but Richmond?
No, not Richmond.
Okay. I'm back to torture you with doggy questions.
All right.
Cool.
Remember last week?
Yes.
All right. So, let's see. We did Jetsons, Astro, and Frasier, Eddie. The Brady Bunch. What was the name of their dog?
Good. I never watched that show. Couldn't ask Dennis the Menace, could you? Let's see. No, not the Brady Bunch. I don't. No, wait. Let me think for a second.
I've never watched.
No, we didn't. I didn't watch that.
Yeah, all right. So that was Tiger.
Okay.
How about Topper? That's a giveaway.
That's Neil.
Oh, very good. Okay, last one I think here. Oh God, we did have Dennis the Menace, didn't we? Oh, okay. Tell me, Dennis the Menace.
That's rough.
Oh yeah, good. And Thin Man.
Asta.
Very good. All right. You're redeemed.
Thanks. All right. Thank you.
I was a judge in Dogfest yesterday.
Were you?
The most fun.
Yeah. Was that? Oh, Dogfest. Okay. What were they judging about? I mean, what were you judging about?
The contest, there were, I think, 8 contests, and I was a judge in 4. So they were a lap dog, best owner dog lookalike, best body part.
Body part?
Uh-huh. And what were the others? Best coat? And then we
the
judged
dog.
The best in
dog
show.
Coat. Okay.
Yeah.
Not the owner. Interesting. Okay.
It was fun. Yeah.
You didn't judge the Hunky Jesus contest this year, did you?
No.
Okay. And who won for best coat?
One of them was a... I'm trying to think of the winner had a...
What type of dog was it?
I think a Bernese was second,
oh,
and a third was like a cockapoo kind of dog that had a, and maybe a Pooley was first.
Those Bernese dogs are awfully sweet. And,
don't live long, though.
Yeah, no, that's the problem with big dogs. Anyway, okay, let's see. I'll do a question here. This is according to Woman's Day, which, of course, I read religiously. They did a survey on what people lie about most online when they have a profile online. So these are 9, not 10. One of them didn't seem right to me, so I left it out. So what are the 9 things that people lie about the most online when they have a profile?
Age. Age.
Age, yes. So in a little addendum to the age... On an average, what would you say, how many years would you say people generally cut off their age from
5.
Their age? Yeah, you're exactly right.
5, yeah.
5,
I was say
very good,
two.
Very good. Okay, yes, age is 1.
Weight.
Weight, yes, very good. All right, so those are your 2 guesses for the moment.
Well.
I only had 1.
And I only had 1.
Yeah, but
you 2 between
when
us?
You put together, the 2.
Oh, well, yeah. That doesn't count. Come on.
I'll give you more guess. No, I'll give you more in a little while. I want to let people guess.
Well, it could be almost anything. 9, that's a lot.
Yes. So according to Woman's Day magazine, what are the 9 things that people lie about the most in their online profiles? And so far we have weight and age. And there's an average.
Leah's got a good one.
Whether they're married or not, you know, believe it or not, no, it's not one of the 9.
We don't know whether they're lying or not.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I would have thought so too, but it wasn't. It wasn't one of the 9 anyway. And all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
Yes.
Oh boy, this is Billy from Brunel.
Hi.
The product that was developed.
Yeah.
Post-it.
No, good guess. No.
How about the around the corner comedian, George Gobel?
No,
that's a good guess.
I don't think he was in radio. Maybe.
Oh.
No, that's it was around that time, but he came later. He was about
Lonesome George.
10 years later.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
How about the water, Santa Cruz?
Yes, Santa Cruz.
Yes.
Oh. All right, I got one.
Very good.
Very good.
And
you pulled it out.
About the belt loops. Is that called a Hemingway?
No, good guess.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I was wondering, can you wear that with a Henway?
Good guess.
Good guess.
I was hoping you were going to say, what's a Henway?
Yeah, but
say,
yeah,
£3.
We've heard that too.
Oh, darn. Okay, how about the lies online?
You're breaking up a little bit, but yeah, go ahead.
Address?
No, not address.
Income?
Yes, income.
Career?
And career,
like your job.
Kind of, yeah. I'm not going to give you full credit for that.
Okay, well, how about a half a bell?
All right, a little half a bell.
Okay,
there you go.
That's
all right. Thank you. And on income, they say that the rule of thumb is, for men anyway, when they say what income they have online or what their income range is, you take off 40%. So. And
but again, if they're lying, how do you know they're lying?
Well, just when you actually find out what the truth is, you know, if it comes to the point where you come in a relationship, yeah. You find out what the truth is, it's generally they overestimate by 40%.
I wonder how they took that poll.
I don't know. Ask
Women's Day.
Women's Day.
It's not exactly Gallup, you know.
And let's see. All right. Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. What momentous occasion occurred at the Club 500 in Atlantic City in 1946.
The first performance of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah.
Very good. I would not think you would get that. Excellent.
I spent a lot of my childhood in Atlantic City.
Did you?
Oh, you did. Oh, okay. Remember the Club 500?
I remember its existence. I was too little to go there.
Yeah. Okay, I'll ask another quickie. What was the first MGM film to be made in CinemaScope?
CinemaScope. How the West Was Won?
No.
That's Cinerama. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's Cinerama.
I was going to say the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, that's Paramount. MGM. CinemaScope. Was it the 50s? Can you tell me that?
Yeah.
Okay. Ben-Hur?
No.
All right. Well, I'd just read that question once more, would you?
What was the first MGM film to be made in CinemaScope?
Okay. And let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Leah?
Okay. What did scientists invent in 1957 when they were trying to create a wipeable wallpaper? And what is the word for the English word for belt loops, that part of a pants? Belt loops, and it's the same name as a famous literary figure. I'll give you a famous literary figure from the British Isles.
Oh, a Kipling.
No.
That's not bad.
Sounds like
a Dickens.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
An Austen.
No.
Okay. Jerry, not your last question, but...
Yeah, in 1948, ABC TV first went on the air for the first time, first went on the air with a variety show called On the Corner, starring a famous comedian of the time. Who was he? Radio comedian.
Mm. All right. According to the IRS, what are the three most common mistakes Americans make on their tax forms? We got one, which is they forget to sign it. What are the other two? And according to a poll done by Woman's Day, what do people lie about the most in their online profiles? There are nine in this list. So far we have weight, age, and income. What are the others? And that's it. Okay. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul on the Carnero.
Hey, Big Radul.
I've got five names of some people, and I'd like you to tell me who they became.
Who they became. So these were the original names?
Yes, correct.
Oh, so, Jerry's pretty good at this.
The first one is Jane Peters.
Who?
Jane Peters.
That's, I think that's Carol Lombard.
Right. Eunice Queedens.
Eve Arden.
Good.
That's two in a row. Ernest Bickel.
That's Frederick March.
Frederick, yeah.
Wow. Arlene Carpenter.
Jean Harlow.
Man. Harriet Lake.
Veronica Lake.
No, Ann Southern.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And Ann Southern was in a series of 10 films with the same character name to...
Maisie.
Maisie Revere, yeah. And she, her paternal grandfather, Simon Lake, was famous for something. Can you tell me what that was?
Was it anything to do with Mormonism?
No.
Okay.
He was an inventor.
Oh. He invented one product he's most famous for?
Yeah.
Simon Lake.
Huh. I have no idea.
What kind of, I mean, is it, Mike, a utilitarian product? I mean, is it something that we all were aware of and use?
Something around the house?
No, not around the house, but we're, you know, we're well aware of it.
Could be so many things.
Yeah, fire hydrant. we don't know.
Okay, it's the modern submarine.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. All right.
That's pretty major.
Well, thanks.
Well, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And Leah, it's your turn.
Okay. In the United States, by federal law, states have laws about this too, but by federal law, what's the minimum number of people that could have a riot? That would be defined as a riot.
Ten.
A ran amok.
Ten.
No.
Huh. Really? Okay. What? Oh, all right. That brings up the question: what do they call it if you don't have this minimum amount of people?
I don't know.
A brawl.
A birthday party. Yeah,
maybe a
birthday party.
A melee.
Yeah. And ten wasn't right.
Conflict.
Is that too little?
I'm not saying.
I think it'd probably be more.
A minimum amount, you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Try 20.
I'm going to try 2.
Mm-mm.
No, 2?
Well, I mean, if they...
I'm going to give it to you. It's 3.
3? See, I knew it would go...
For a riot?
Debbie says she had
That's
it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Really?
In Nevada, in the state of Nevada, it's 2.
That's nonsense.
Interesting.
That's nonsense.
Well, it depends how big a fuss you're making, I suppose.
Well, it could be 1 then.
I guess. It's hard. It's kind of lonely to riot all by yourself.
Well,
but.
Yeah.
All right, Leah, give us another question.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. What national anthem has no words?
Oh,
I think
that's come up at some point. Let me think about that. Right. Okay.
It's the only one, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a pretty well-known country. It's not like in a little tiny, obscure country, is it? No, you're saying no? It's not
It is a well-known country.
Okay. Huh. How about Brazil?
No.
All right. Could you read that just once more?
What national anthem has no words?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Me?
Yes, you.
Yeah, hi. I thought I was one away. The man on the corner is Ernie Kovacs.
No, it is not.
No.
Good guess, but no.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Sounds like it might be him, yeah.
How about Gary Moore?
No. No.
All right.
Also, not a bad guess. But,
yeah, he had his own radio show where he had kind of, you know,
He was in radio, yeah.
Yeah.
Radio's show was a take it or leave it.
Yeah, but he
might have had a variety
Jimmy
of shows.
He was with Jimmy Durante.
Yeah, they teamed them for a while, yeah.
Right.
Not Dave Garraway.
No,
Yeah, that seems like this
He's
type
not
of
a
thing.
Comedian exactly, though.
No. Somebody asked a question about that the other day. Yeah.
A very singular kind of a guy.
And I can't quite remember the answer, but I'll put it out there. For 15 years, Dave Garraway picked the picked the theme music for the Today Show. And they used the same theme for 15 years. What was it? It was a well-known piece of music. Of course, I can't think of it now, but I'll think of it in a minute.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Anyway.
Is that a kind of standard, or was it of the time?
Yes, it is a standard.
Okay. Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Your Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Hi there. So we're guessing, actually, first, Karen thinks that maybe the national anthem with no words might be Japan.
Nope.
All right. How about the easy wipe wallpaper? Would that be a whiteboard?
Nope.
Oh, I like that.
Nope.
Okay, so how about lying in online dating profiles?
Yes.
And these are dating profiles, right, Leah?
That's Dana's question.
My question.
These are specifically dating profiles, right?
Your general profile on, like, Facebook or crap like that.
So we're guessing height?
Yes, height.
Relationship status?
No, it doesn't specifically say that.
How about dependence?
No, it doesn't say that either.
How about job titles?
Yes, that's what it does. That's sort of what I was referring to earlier. The guy has was sort of half right.
Yeah, career. Right. So we got two at least.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
Thanks
good.
All.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, I heard this on NPR today, as a matter of fact. What is the northernmost city in North America that has over 1 million people?
The city itself, not the metropolitan area.
Yeah, the city itself. What is the northernmost city in North America that has over 1 million people?
Oh. Is it...
Quebec?
Yeah.
No, is not it, Quebec.
Is it Toronto?
No, it is not Toronto.
All those are kind of on the border. I'm trying to think of a more northern Canadian city, and I can't think of any. Do you know Canadian... geography, Leah?
Mm-hmm. So once more, what is the northernmost
city
is the northernmost city in North America that has over 1 million people? So leave that out.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You there, caller?
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I thought I wasn't going to be till one more call. This is Denise in San Francisco.
Hi, Denise.
Hi. So on the online dating profiles or the online profiles, I could have gotten all the answers that were already guessed ahead of me. And by the way, Jerry, have you ever been on an online date?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well,
let me stand aside here for a minute.
I'm guessing the answer is no, given how you can't figure out how people ever find out that the profiles are inaccurate.
Oh, I have not been on a date, but I have been I have registered on online dating to no avail.
Well, see, if you don't meet the person, then you don't find out.
Right.
Oh, I
right.
see. I get it.
That's
okay.
The problem.
Okay, I got it.
So, by the way, in height. Definitely, some years back, I'm 5'6", and some years back I met a man who had told me he was 6 foot something, and he was shorter than I was.
Yeah, I don't know why people lie about it. I mean, you can't get away with something like that. That's
that's
sure.
just kind of dumb, no. besides being...
Yeah, height is one.
Yeah, what about, it can be phrased in different ways, like body type?
Yeah, body, physical.
Yeah, and then I don't know if this would count... but, you know, people put really old photos.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was grouped in this way. They in their photographs, they either put a photograph that's very old, you know, like when, you know, they're 50 now, and they put a photograph of themselves when they were 20, it's not them. or they Photoshop. Which is actually pretty easy to do, I understand. They Photoshop their photographs to make them look more attractive.
Oh, okay. Well, those are the only ones.
Well, that's.
I don't know if that. I don't think that adds up to 9 yet. But.
No. There's actually there's only one more. Or there's two more left. And
is it drug use or frequency of drinking?
No, not another one of those.
Okay. All right, those are the only ones. I've experienced all the others.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound like you have a kind of a checkered history with this, but
yeah,
I didn't want to...
But I've met good people, too. I just haven't run into Jerry yet, apparently.
No, well, I...
He's there. He's there someplace.
I'm here, but I gave up on it. It didn't work.
Oh, gee. Well, I have no idea if we're in the same age range or anything, but...
Very few people are in my age range.
Right. He's as young as he feels, you know. Let's put
it sounds nice, though. I'll say that. Yeah.
Send him an email.
Yeah. Who knows?
All right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, good luck with that. And next call. Hi, your Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, yes. My name is Glenn. I'm English.
Hi.
And I...
You didn't have to explain that part to us. We probably would have figured it out.
Okay. Well, I think the question is with the no words is Spanish, but no national anthem.
Good job.
You are right. Oh, that bell was crappy. You're going to get the big one.
There you go.
How's that?
A big bell. First time ever ringing up. I just come to San Francisco. I lived here 18 years ago. But no worries.
Welcome back. Excellent.
One of my... thank you very much for inviting me back. It's the best place to live in the world. And believe me, I've lived all over the world. One of the questions I was asking my friend was, I said, do they switch the water off in Niagara Falls of a night?
No.
They don't switch it off. It can be done because there are dams upstream that they can temporarily turn off
the
falls. Yes.
Why would they do that?
They turn the water to the American side and 50% to the Canadian side to run the hydros.
And the falls have frozen, too.
Oh, they do? It's just last year.
This
year they did, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an amazing picture to see.
Yeah.
I think they actually don't shut it off in the tourist season, but they shut it off in the... I'm an engineer, and they shut it off in the non-seasons where no one shows up.
No, I don't think they do it for very long periods of time, but, I mean, they can do it. I believe they can do it, yeah.
Yeah, because the hydros are both sides.
Right.
So I've heard it's like 50% for night, not of a day, because they want to store it. But they ship at night, and they take 50% of the water and ship it through the hydros.
And they ship it out to California, as we know.
Well, I wish they did. And by the way, and I want to put this question out to you, and I hear they bring oil. I used to live in Texas up until 8 weeks ago. They're going to bring an oil pipe from Canada to Texas, right, to feed the oil. Why don't they put a water pipe next door to it? Because they're going to dig a big hole, put a water pipe, and then feed California.
There's not enough money in it, apparently.
They may someday.
Yeah.
But if they can do it right now, why don't they just do it? And then in 10 years' time, when we really need the water, why don't they do it?
Write to Jerry.
Yeah.
Write to Jerry? Who's Jerry?
Jerry Brown.
Yeah, I don't think he knows me.
Oh. Well, welcome back to San Francisco.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And let's see. Jerry.
I like his accent.
I think it's your turn.
Okay. What was the first hit single record that ran over 4 minutes in length? Most of them were 3 minutes and maybe a little more, but...
you have to give us a time frame on this, I
1948.
Think.
1948. It was a show tune.
Oh. Huh.
Big hit at the time.
Oh.
Show tune from 1948?
Yes.
Something from South Pacific?
No.
Or The King and I?
No. Those are later shows.
Okay. Let's see. It's a show tune, so it's obviously a big successful show.
Not as big as the ones you mentioned, but it was a success, yeah.
Finian's Rainbow?
No. It's kind of in that category.
Big show tune. So it's kind of a breakout. That's like the breakout tune from the show.
Exactly.
Okay. 4 minutes. Was it sung by one singer?
A famous person sang it, the lead in the show, and it became his theme song.
My Boy Bill?
No.
That's later.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. His theme song. This person's theme song.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. That's interesting. All right. Just read the whole thing once more.
What was the first hit single record that ran over 4 minutes in length in 1948? And it It was a pop hit at the time, and most records could only run 3 minutes, minutes plus.
That's too early for Brigadoon, I guess, huh?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Is the wallpaper product, is that Teflon?
No. Mm-mm.
That's a good guess. Yeah, I said that.
That's why. Is the show tune New York, New York?
Oh, no, that came much later. The original New York, New York. No, good guess, but no. From the movie, you mean.
Right.
The movie was 50, I think, wasn't it?
Which movie?
Oh, On the Town.
Oh, that's 49.
49 or 50, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, good guess, but no.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And you're listening to Minds Ever Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We've got a few minutes left. We'll take as many calls as we can. If you'd like to give us a quick call, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm trying to share some information. Because basically, you know, whenever I am on, basically just before I am selected, there's this splash of sound that happens. So I always know I'm going to be next. I'm just trying to share information. There's this thing that happens on the phone. It goes, and then you're the next person up.
Oh.
I'm just trying to share it with the other players.
So they'll know.
Yeah.
That's the voice of the Almighty.
Yeah.
It's Are God, you talking it, about me?
God is speaking through our phone.
Yeah.
Listen, On the Corner, Fred Allen?
No. Very good guess, but no.
The MGM movie, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
That's a good guess.
No. It was not a musical.
I'm getting so scared.
It was a Western.
A Western.
Is it Woman's Day thing? With the untruthful?
Yes.
I'm putting it this way. I don't know how to say it. Hair situations?
Oh, no. I'm sure that, I guess that comes in the body, underbody.
Okay.
Physical.
And so I have a really ridiculous question. I watched Prince Valiant last night, 1954.
Right.
Who opened the film as the voice, the narrator?
Oh.
I think his star was...
What year is that, Dana?
54.
Oh, you said,
Star was waning, so...
You know, like, you don't hear much about him after 56 and stuff. But he was sort of like a second stringer in terms of male leads.
Vincent Price?
At Fox?
Gosh, I'm trying to think of what studio he was in.
Because that's Fox, I know.
Vincent Price?
No, that's a good guess.
I know James Mason's in it, but he doesn't play Prince Valiant; he plays the villain. But
the voice. At first, I was thinking that's James Mason, and I went, no, it's that guy who he was in the remake of Les Misérables.
Oh, Michael Rennie?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was at Fox.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
This is my second. I'm returning because I missed a dog for you, Dana. But in the meantime, I'm back at guessing more about the 1948 comedy. Would that be Jonathan Winters?
Not Jonathan. No, I'm
no, okay. No. That's Jonathan before Winters. Him.
Okay. Oil-based paint, wallpaper replacement. Would that be? Oh, excuse me. Oil-based paint.
No. Mm-mm. No.
I want to say thank you to Thomas for the for just mentioning the voice of the Almighty, but I don't hear it.
Oh, all right.
It's just like trying to keep track of what's, you know, your number four or number five in the queue.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Right.
Online profile lies. Would that be your alma mater?
No, that didn't come up.
Okay. So back to you. The jerk had two names. One you could say on the dog. One you could say on radio, probably, and one you couldn't.
Oh, I think I know the one you can't say on the radio.
What's the letter?
Yeah, I think
dog
it starts
man?
With an S.
Dog
yeah, man? That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Shiatsu?
She says answer? Blank head.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right. That's
blank
right.
head.
Okay. And the other one is lightsaber.
The other one is what?
Lightsaber.
Lightsaber. Oh, okay.
No, life. Like life.
Oh, life. Oh, okay. No, I don't. That I don't know.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
So is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, I just heard that weird God sound.
Okay, I don't know. I wasn't aware of that because I don't call into the own the show when I'm doing it. But okay, that's interesting.
So I've been in and out of the show today, unfortunately. So has anybody guessed hair on the nine aspects, hair color?
Well, they have guessed hair, but I sort of put that down under body. Because it's physical, body / physical. So it's, I guess that would come under that.
Okay, and for the wallpaper, it's linoleum, right?
No. Nope.
Really?
Mm. No. Nope.
And not VCT either.
No. Nope. What did you say?
VCT.
What's that?
Those are the little vinyl squares.
No.
Okay, and 1948, yep. White Christmas, Bing Crosby, right?
No, that's not the song.
No. Not the song.
No.
Okay. And then I have first of all, on the dating thing, I think somebody on the panel missed a date that was on the phone hinting to be asked out. Anyway, my question of the day is, because I've only ever gotten one question more than once in Trivial Pursuit, and I've literally gotten this in every single game I've played. It's really strange.
All right. We're almost out of time, so what is it?
What was originally marketed as Gayetti's medicated paper?
Gayetti's?
What was originally marketed as Gayetti's medicated paper?
Cigarettes?
Nope.
So they're not rolling papers with like you use to roll a joint or a cigarette?
No.
Tissues?
That's good.
You mean like Kleenex? No, not Kleenex.
We don't know.
Any more guesses? Nope.
No.
Toilet paper.
Oh, well, yeah, makes sense. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Would your substance be Reynolds Wrap?
Okay. All right, time to clean up here. Jerry?
Okay, the ABC TV show that went on the air for the first time in 1948 with a variety show on the corner starring Henry Morgan.
Oh, all right.
And
makes sense.
And the hit single that ran over four, first hit single to run over 4 minutes in length was Once in Love with Amy, sung by Ray Bolger from Where's Charlie? And the first MGM film to be made in CineScope in 1955 was Bad Day at Black Rock.
Oh, that's 54.
54, okay.
And Leah?
The word for a belt loop is a becket.
Oh, of course.
And and the substance invented in trying to make wipeable wallpaper was bubble wrap.
Oh, good one.
Huh. All right. The three most common mistakes, according to the IRS, that people make on their tax forms, they forget to sign them. They put either the wrong Social Security number or they forget to put it on. And they also have they mail it to the wrong address the IRS provides. So they forget to put the label on, and they mail it to the wrong address. According to Woman's Day, what people lie about the most, the ones that nobody got, are they say they exaggerate their hobbies, like I'm a shark hunter, kind of thing, when I'm actually home watching TV. And then they brag about meeting or knowing celebrities.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. All right. The northernmost city in North America with over 1 million people is Edmonton, Alberta. Edmonton, Alberta.
Okay.
So if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoyed bringing it to you. Our panel tonight was well-known Barry author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Leah Garchik. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you will be joining us again next Sunday at 7 p.m., and we look forward to that. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.